aren't you glad to be in chapel, not in school? Man, how many of you would like me to go ahead and take a lot longer time than I'm supposed to take? You say amen to that? Okay, so you want to go back to school. Well, make sure you get back on time then. No problem at all. Take your Bible this morning, go to Luke chapter 12, and I think it would be a great thing if people that play an instrument, an instrumental well, are given the rest of the day off from school. But they have to be able to play it well. You can't just get up and play it. I think you have to play well, and it has to be judged that it was of excellent quality. And if it's of excellent quality, then you get the rest of the day off. I think you get the rest of the day off. Now, they won't like that, but I think it's a good thing. All right. Luke chapter 12, there's a question here that the rich man asked himself. And the Bible says in Luke 12, verse 16, he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. I'm going to pray one more time. Would you do that with me? Lord, sure do appreciate the privilege to be able to preach to young people today. And thank you, Lord, for the Bible. I pray you'd help us today to allow it to speak to our hearts. And Lord, you would give some direction for some young lives for their future. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, great question that he asked in verse 17. And this is not where I'm going to preach from. We're going to turn to probably 10 different passages in the Bible today. So if you don't turn with me in the Bible, you'll definitely miss some things. I'm looking around, make sure everybody has their Bible. If you don't have your Bible, you can't turn in your Bible, which means you have to trust what I'm saying. And if you trust what I'm saying, I'm going to tell you that you all need to be Alabama Crimson Tide fans for the rest of your life. And you know that's not true. So now, question verse 17, what shall I do? It's a good question. What shall I do? What's going to be the plan for my life? And he asked himself that. You see that? He thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? So he's asking himself, what am I supposed to do with my life? What shall I do? And then he answers in verse 18. You look what he says. This will I do. He says, okay, this is the course of life that I'm going to take. This is my plan. This will I do. So he asks himself, what shall I do? And then he says, this will I do. So he makes a decision on what he's going to do with his life. The problem with that is, in verse number 20, but God said unto him. That's a contrasting conjunction. So this man said, this is my plan. What shall I do? This is the plan I'm going to take for my life. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. Your plan is not going to ever work, because tonight your life, your soul will be required of thee. Now, I think it would have been a much different story if instead of asking himself, if he went to God and said, God, what shall I do? If he had gone to God and said, God, look, this is my, I know you've given me life, and look, you've given me plenty. You've given me ground that is brought forth plentifully. Right? How many would agree with me that if his ground brought forth plentifully, that God was still involved in that? Would you say amen to that? In other words, if rain came down on that ground, and if that ground was productive, it wasn't just that he was this great planter or this great agriculturalist. God was involved in that. And you're here today. If you're not called into the ministry, I'm not going to be a missionary, I'm not going to be a pastor, whatever. God still is the one that gave you a sound mind and a body to be able to move through this life. So to say, well, you know, it's my life. I'm going to do what I want to do. You know, I'd like to do this. I'd like to excel in this area. I'd like to make this amount of money. I'd like to go this direction. I'm not saying that you have to be called to preach or that you have to be a missionary. You have to be. Listen, my son is studying accounting. He's going to be an accountant. He's already been offered an internship with one of the big four firms. I don't know if he's going to take that or not, but here's what I do know. I've told him, no matter what you do with your life, you're supposed to please the Lord Jesus Christ with your life. And you're supposed to keep your life connected to eternity. What shall I do? He said, Dad, should I take this job with the big four firm, or should I take it with a local firm? I said, you need to ask God that question. What shall I do? And so many times, not just young people, but older people, they have their own plan for their life. What shall I do? They ask themselves, or maybe they ask somebody else that maybe is successful, what do you think I ought to do? And really, what I think you ought to do is you ought to ask God what He wants you to do with your life. God, what shall I do? And you know what God would have told him? You need to get prepared to leave this world because you're leaving tonight. But you know what he's doing? He's doing this. Verse 19, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Here's what he's doing. He said, hey, look at all this. Look at all what I got. What shall I do with all this? This will I do. And then he just kind of sits back and says, man, I'm going to take it easy today. It's going to be a great day, great life. And if you'd asked God, God would have said, you need to get up. Because tomorrow you're going to lose your soul. Your life's going to be ended. And then, who shall be those things that thou hast provided? And what I'm trying to get you to think about this morning is this. Have you ever asked God that question? What shall I do? What do you want me to do with my life, Lord? What's the plan you have for my life? Every one of you have a very unique thumbprint. There's nobody in this auditorium this morning that does not have a unique thumbprint. That means that you've been designed, you've been created, and you've been created for a purpose. You've been created for a reason. You know, there are some people that I've heard sing that it was obvious that God gave them a great voice, and then there are other people that I've heard sing God did not create them to sing. Right? You don't have to ask, Lord, what would thou have me to sing today? Nothing. Just make a joyful noise, it'll all be good. Other people, you'd say, I want to hear that again. So God's got a plan for your life. You say, well, look, I'm only 13, I'm only 15, I'm only 18, I'm 20, I'm 22. Yeah, but you need to ask God, what shall I do? Because God knows what you should do. God has a plan for your life, for your future. And this man did not ask God. He asked himself. And then he said, this will I do. But he never got to do what he said he was going to do. Because he didn't operate on God's plan. He operated on his plan. That's the wrong way to live your life. Now, there's a lot of questions about the will of God. And you know, for sake of time, we're going to turn quickly. But jump over, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 for just a minute. The will of God is in the Bible. Okay? When somebody says, well, I'd just like to know God's will for my life. Well, you can read what the will of God is in the Bible. You don't have to ask, well, is this God's will? It's in the Bible. All right, if you look, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 3. Okay? This is the will of God. All right, now watch. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain, or ye should abstain from fornication. So God's will is that you're sanctified. Being sanctified means to be set apart from something to something else. I'm set apart from the world. I'm set apart to God. I'm set apart from fornication unto purity for what God wants for my life. Young people, I can tell you right now, the will of God for your life is to be pure until you say, I do, at an altar. It's God's will. That's not up for debate. Now, whom you marry is a different question. But whether or not you maintain your purity, that's something that's in the Bible. This is the will of God. Look at chapter 5. Chapter 5. Chapter 5, look at verse number 8. The Bible, excuse me, verse 18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. All right? Look at it again. Make sure you get there. Because some of you are looking at me like you're not looking in your Bible. I want you to look in your Bible. This is not my will. This is God's will. All right? In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So in everything, give thanks. All right? So if I were to fall off this platform right here, and in the church that I preach in, the platform is about twice this high. And I preach about right there. And there are people, what they do is they stay awake because they're waiting for me to fall. If I fail, I could still give God thanks. You say, you would say, thank you for falling? Absolutely not. But if I only broke one bone, I would say, thank you that I didn't break four bones. Do you understand? in everything, give thanks. Not for everything. God, thank you that I wrecked my car. No. Thank you that no one was hurt. Do you understand? Now look at it again. That's not up for debate. That's not, okay, I just want to know God's will for my life. Okay, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's God's will. All right, now, two other places. Go, if you would, to 2 Peter. Well, actually, 1 Peter. We'll stop there first. 1 Peter chapter 2. All right. And as far as I'm concerned, you don't have to take notes if you'll just follow in the Scripture and see it. Okay? 1 Peter chapter 2. Now, if your teacher tells you you have to take notes, you get great on take notes. All right. 1 Peter chapter 2. All right, look what the Bible says in verse number 15. We'll start back up in verse number 13. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. All right. Whether it be the king as supreme, or unto governors, or as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. So submit yourself. So I'm supposed to just be obedient. I'm supposed to obey. That's what you're supposed to do. Now, right now, I've been given the opportunity, the privilege to preach here. So I'm just going to do something, see if you respond. I want everybody to sit up as straight as you possibly can. You know, I can do that in a church of 5,000 people or in a room with 5 people, and inevitably the same thing happens. There are going to be people, like many of you, that you sit up straight and you straighten your back and you're smiling when you did it. And then there are some of you, you slid just a little bit and you're looking at me like, it ain't none of your business if I sit up straight. And you know who you are. You just showed me who you were. You know what the Bible says the will of God is? To obey. Yeah, but I think it's just ridiculous that the speed limit is 70. Me too. I think we ought to have the Autobahn and drive as fast as we want. But if it says 70 and you get pulled over, yes, sir, I'm paying the ticket, I'm sorry. It is God's will that you... It's God's will that you obey mom and dad. Thank you for all the amens. It's God's will you obey your teacher. It's God's will you obey every ordinance of man. It's just God's will. Yeah, but I don't like it. It's God's will. It's His will. It's not up for debate. I just want to know God's will. Okay? Submit yourself. Now, if you look lastly, because this is going real well right now, 2 Peter chapter 3. Look at verse number 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Hey, it's God's will that you get saved. Bible. Somebody says, I just don't know. It's God's will. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And just listen, guys, just because you go to a Christian school doesn't mean you're saved. And I don't want you to doubt that. Just because you go to a Bible college doesn't mean you're saved. I went to Bible college. We had people get saved in Bible college. This 2 years ago, I had one of the deacons in our church come to me and say, "Preacher, I'm not saved." And he got saved after going to Bible college and being a deacon, and I can't tell you how his life, it is obvious that God saved him. I would rather be saved than spend 2 seconds in hell. And that didn't matter to me who thinks anything about it. So it's God's will that you get saved. Then lastly, 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. All right, we're just looking at God's will. What is God's will? Okay, 1 Peter chapter 4. You know, a lot of people like the thing about getting saved, and some people like the idea about, okay, I'd be thankful for everything. This is a little bit harder. Verse 16, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, so Christians do suffer apart from what they teach you on television with these Christian television stations. Verse 17, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. Verse 19, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. Sometimes it's God's will you suffer. Sometimes it's God's will you suffer. Now, So what we just did, we looked at in the Bible what God's will is. Okay? It's not up for debate. It's not something I can say, well, I don't know. It's in the Bible. This is what God's will is in the Bible. And sometimes people have a hard time figuring out then what God's plan is for their life. Again, I told you, it's God's will for you to be pure, but it's God's plan. You need to find out God's plan on who He wants you to marry. What shall I do? All right? That's an important thing. Unless, let's see, do we have, what's the youngest grade we have in here? Seventh grade? And so how old are they? 12. If you're 12, you don't need to ask the question who you should marry. Now, if you're a boy, you should be attracted to girls. And if you're a girl, you should be attracted to boys. But if you're 12 or 13 or 14, look, well, I have a girlfriend. You don't even have a car. If you don't have a car and you don't have a job, you ain't going anywhere. All right? All right. All I'm saying is this. When it comes time, though, there is a plan. To be happily married. It's a plan. Now, how do I find that plan out? How do I figure out what God's plan is? That is a good question. And here's something as a pastor I don't like to hear, and I don't like to see done. I don't like to see somebody get up and preach about a problem and not give a solution. If you're going to tell me what the problem is, if it's a sin in my life, okay, tell me what I need to do to somehow avoid that. If it's something I need to add in my life, okay, tell me how to add that. All right, so how do I find out God's plan? That's a good question. If you're in Bible college, who am I going to marry? Where am I going to minister? Should I take this job? Should I go to this university? If you're a senior here in this school, what's the next step? And sometimes, you know, you'd say, I'd love for it to be in the Bible. It's not always in the Bible. All right, before I took Tabernacle Baptist Church, before I became the pastor there, how many of you believe that the word tabernacle is in the Bible? Would you raise your hand? Okay, how many of you think I'm speaking French right now? Would you raise your hand? Okay. Tabernacle is in the Bible a lot, and I was asking God, God, tell me if you want me to go to tabernacle. And I'd read across the verse, said tabernacle, and that's it, I'm going. And it didn't work that way. God, do I move my family from Alabama, all four children born and raised there, leave a great church that I love, my whole married life spent there, my mother and dad, part of my church, built a house a quarter mile from my house, do I move from here and go to Greenville, South Carolina? That's a hard question. Is that what I need to do? So how do I find God's plan? Okay? And I think some of you want to know God's plan. So here's what I'm going to do. In really quick succession, I'm going to show you about 5 or 6 verses that will help you know what shall I do? What shall I do? Okay? All right, so let's look at it. All right? Number one, take if you would and go to Revelation chapter 3. Okay? And again, we're just going to go through about 5 or 6 of these. And we'll be finished on time, and you get to go back to class. Amen. Revelation chapter 3. Okay. When you're trying to find God's plan for your life, this is important. Revelation 3, verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. Now, here's the first thing. If you're trying to figure out God's plan for your life, the first thing you need to figure out, is there an opportunity? Is there opportunity? Is Miss Armacost, is she still in here? No? Okay. Does your wife always play the organ? Okay, so does she have if she's sick, she has an alternate or something like that or something? Okay, so here's what you don't do. Okay, if Miss Armacost is playing the organ on a regular basis, you don't have to ask God, should you be the next organist? He's already got one. You shouldn't say, okay, do I need to be the pastor of Fairhaven Baptist Church? No, there is one. All right, so you don't have to, there's no open door, there's no opportunity. And if there's no opportunity, then probably it's not God's will or His plan, rather, for you to step that direction. There needs to be an opportunity. If somebody's already married, it cannot be somebody you should be married to, unless you're a Mormon. Okay? That's already, there's no opportunity. There's no opportunity. So what I'm saying is, if you want to know God's plan, if you know God's plan, is there an opportunity? And here's what I can, I moved from Alabama to South Carolina because I had to come to this conclusion, sitting at my desk in my office, not wanting to leave a great church, my family, people that I'd led to Christ and married and seen their children born and seen them get saved. I did not want to leave Alabama. I was sitting at my desk, and I came to the conclusion, only God could have opened this door. Am I going to step through it? So sometimes finding God's plan is there an opportunity? Is there an opportunity? Did God open that opportunity? All right, here's the second thing. How many of y'all still with me? Could you say amen? All right, Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, if you look at verse number 4. Boy, I love to hear those pages turn. Praise God. That makes me feel good. Pages turn. You can't do that with a digital Bible. I hope somebody makes an app one day that when you're looking for it in your Bible that it's going shoo, 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 shoo. Makes me feel good. Matthew chapter 4. Jesus is being tempted by the devil. Look what he says in verse number 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So in other words, Satan is asking him to do something. He says, no, wait a minute. I'm supposed to live by every principle in the Bible. So here's what I'm going to tell you. Number two, when you're trying to figure out God's plan, is there an opportunity? Number two, is it based on the right principle? Okay. Now, how many of you think it would be good, if you could earn $1 million a year, would that be a good thing? Now, I didn't say if you played the lottery. Come on, if you could earn $1 million next year, would that be a good thing? Absolutely. And if they don't like it here, come to South Carolina. We'll let you be a member of our church. I know what the tithe is on $1 million. A million a year? There's nothing wrong with that. But what if I said this? We'll give you $1 million a year, but you have to become the representative for Budweiser for us. Your answer would be? Absolutely not. It's against the principle of the Bible. I'm not supposed to be involved in putting a bottle to my neighbor's lips, so I don't have to pray about taking a job that is against the principles of the Bible. All right? I don't know if I should take this job and be a waiter at such and such a restaurant for my summer this year. Well, are you going to have to serve alcohol at the table? Yes, but they told me they'd pay me this much. You don't have to pray about that. The answer is no, I'm not going to do it. Do you understand what I'm saying? What I'm saying is that if the principles of the Bible are going to dictate, is this part of God's plan? All right. I picked on a girl there just a minute. Are you single? Okay. So this girl is Miss Indiana. Pretty impressive. Miss Indiana. What's your favorite hair color? She's blonde. Eye color. Brown eyes, blonde hair, Miss Indiana. Smart or stupid? Smart. Okay. Intellectual, blonde, brown-eyed, Miss Indiana, beautiful. Pastor, I need you to pray with me about something. What's that? Man, I think I've met the girl. And she's interested. Really? Is she saved? Well, you know, I haven't got to that question yet. Does she go to? She does go to church. What kind of church? I think maybe Solution Church. You know, the Bible says you're not to be unequally yoked. So if he or she is not born again and you are, is that God's plan for your life? It can't be. Yeah, but she's blonde-headed, brown-eyed, smart, and Miss Indiana. She's beautiful. Yeah, but it can't be God's plan because it's not consistent with God's principle. Now, if you really want to know God's plan, you've got to operate by God's principles. You can't operate outside of God's principles and hope that it turns out well. Yeah, but Pastor, can I show you a picture? I think I can win her to Christ. No. Thirdly, turn to James chapter 1. James 1. Now, again, this is just trying to find God's plan for my life. We're going to have to move a little faster. I'm going to run out of time. James chapter 1. And again, you know what? I want you to know God's plan for your life because I know what God's will is, and I want the same thing for my children. I want my children to follow God's plan for their life. James chapter 1, look at verse number 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. In other words, he's not going to say, why are you asking me this question? He's going to say, okay, if you lack wisdom, ask me, I will give to all men liberally exactly what you asked me for. So what you've got to do is you've got to trust God's promises. And one of God's promises is that he'll give you wisdom. He'll give you wisdom. I had a car given to me that I didn't even pray about, and I thought it had to be God's will that, you know, if somebody gives you a car, that's got to be God's will, right? After replacing the third transmission in the car, I found out this could not have been God's will. I didn't pray about it. I just said, sure, that'd be great. I wish I'd have said no. God has a promise. He says, if you lack wisdom, ask me. Let me give you wisdom in this regard. And look, how many of you believe that God really can give wisdom? Do you believe that? Did he give Solomon wisdom when he sits on the throne, and as soon as he gets there, two women show up. Both of them say that the baby is theirs, and he said, here's what he says, then bring me a sword. Can't figure out. Yeah, I can't tell. It's a baby. I can't. Doesn't look like her. Doesn't look like her. Bring me a sword. And when he says, bring me a sword, I'm going to cut it in half, give you to you. And the real mother says, give it to her. And he says, give it to her. She's the mother. And everybody went, wow. You know, that didn't come from his education. That came from a God that gave him wisdom. It didn't come from the fact that his dad was David. It came from the fact that God gave him wisdom. And he can give you wisdom. You've got to operate on that principle. God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Okay. Number four. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4. Again, just trying to find God's plan. God's plan. What's God's plan for my life? Philippians chapter 4. Verse number 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I'm a big believer in God giving you peace and settling your soul. If God says, if you won't be careful, in other words, worried about it, and if you'll ask me, if you'll talk to me, and you'll sprinkle some thanksgiving in there, and you'll make your request known, my peace will come to you. I'll give you my peace. And if somebody says, well, how do you know it's God's peace? Well, because God's peace is something settling regardless of the circumstances around you. That's not the way His peace works. He gives peace. And whether you experience that or not, it is something that's real. You know, before surgery, they'll give you an option. And is there anybody here that's ever had your wisdom teeth taken out? Anybody here? Okay. Was anybody nervous about that before you had it done? Or when you got there into that seat and they gave you that medicine, did you care anymore? No, you did not. But you know, that was artificially created. Because they're going to go in your mouth, and they're going to break up your tooth, and then they're going to pull it out. They're going to cut your gum. No, you're not going to do that. No, well, here, take a little bit of this. You can do it all day long. Take out some of these, too. It'll be... No. You know what that is? That's artificial. But if you can sit in a chair, and I've done it. Listen, I had to go into surgery, and they say, hey, you need a shot? Are you anxious? No, I'm good. Really? Yeah. Okay. I mean, I get on planes. I'm going to fly on one today. 35,000 feet, 500 miles an hour. And they're going to talk about the flotation device under my seat. If you wreck it 500 miles an hour, 35,000 feet, you don't need a flotation device. It's done. Right? And I used to hate, I would get on a plane and I would put my finger on the verse that God hangeth the earth on nothing. And I would say, God, you hung it on nothing. You can keep this plane alive. Even if the engines go out, Lord, you can hang it on nothing. And now I just get on the plane and don't worry about it because I asked God, look, would you help me? I used to go and I would pat the door 3 times like I was playing ball again or something and say, God, you know, please keep the pilot. And I'd never looked at the pilot. I didn't want to see the pilot because he might have big, thick glasses and I didn't want him flying the plane. And now I just go and I sit in my seat and I just trust God to get me where I'm going. And if he doesn't get me where I'm going, then we're going to die at 500 miles an hour, 35,000 feet or lower. And either that's real or it's not. All I'm saying is God will give you peace. And we've got to move quickly. Number five. Proverbs chapter 11. In fact, since we've only got 2 minutes left, get Proverbs 11 and 1 Corinthians 10. I'll just show you both these together. I want to get these in. Proverbs 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We won't spend much time on these, but at least we'll put these in here for you. 1 Corinthians 10, Proverbs 11. All right. Trying to find God's plan for my life. Not his will. I've got his will written in the Bible. Okay, God, what is your plan? What shall I do? What the rich man didn't ask. Proverbs chapter 11, and if you look there at verse number 14, all right, the Bible says, where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety. So part of God's plan is when you go to a counselor, if you have a pastor, you go to him. If you have parents, you go to them. If there are godly teachers you have, you go to them. If you have godly friends, you go to them. And there's safety there. You use his people. God gives you good people to be able to determine what do I need to do next. I can't tell you how many of my friends that I called before I went to South Carolina. And some said, don't go. Some said, you need to go. Others said, God will show you. And he did. Last thing, 1 Corinthians 10. I'm finished. 1 Corinthians 10. This pretty much simplifies for me finding God's plan for my life. And I can't tell you how many times I've used this. 1 Corinthians 10:31. All right. God, what's your plan? What shall I do, Lord? Instead of asking myself, what shall I do, Lord? 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now, I'm finished. You got a decision to make. I'm thinking particularly of you guys. You got a decision to make. Both of them are good. So what do I do? Choose the one that brings God the most glory. If I err and I get it wrong, and I think I will, I have. I don't know how many times I've said, God, which one's going to bring you the most glory? And I think I'm going to get to heaven at the judgment seat of Christ. And he's going to say, Joel, why did you make that choice? I said, well, God, I thought it would bring you the most glory. He said, you completely missed it, man. But I appreciate the motive. I think I would rather hear that than hear, that was a stupid choice you made. Why didn't you try to do something that... No, God, which one brings you the most glory? And if you'll live that way, all right, God, I want to bring you glory. I'm going to use the counselors you've given me. I'm going to make sure the principles I'm making choices on are biblical. I'm going to make sure there's an opportunity there. Then you're going to come closer to making certain that you find God's plan than just saying, like the rich man, what shall I do? Okay. This will I do. And God says, no, that's not going to work out. Thou fool tonight. So give God the opportunity to direct your life, the plan for your life. And if you'll do what God wants you to do with your life, you're going to find out it's a great life. I'm telling you, hey, young people, don't believe what the world has to say. If you'll follow God's plan, God has a great plan for your life. Plan. And if you don't, let's ask Brother Jonah how it works out. 3 days inside the belly of a whale. Not good. Not good. All right. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to preach to these young people today. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing of knowing that I have a Bible that can help me know the plan for my life. And Lord, I have no idea the choices that are really in front of some of these young people even now. Some of the seniors, what they're going to do next year. Some of the seniors in college, what they're going to do. Maybe even some folks here that are thinking about, well, should I say yes to this individual who's interested or whatever it may be, a job that's been offered. All those things have consequences, Lord, some good, some bad. I pray you'd help them to know not just your will, but also to be confident in your plan. And I pray you'd be able to direct their life every day so that you might get out.